It is 5:30, Monday, January 2nd. That means talking about practice starts momentarily. Before we get into the show, we want to thank our sponsors, always. Talking about practice is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Bigfoot Carpet, providing professional installation of carpet, tile, vinyl, laminate, and hardwood flooring for the greater Chico area. Bigfoot Carpet carries a large in-stock selection and is located at 3436 Highway 32 in Suite 100. Bigfoot Carpets can be reached by calling 879-0000, or you can check them out online, bigfootcarpets.com. We have one more read, but we will save that for after 6 o'clock. So with no further ado, my name is Jarrell Gilbert, Jonathan Newberry, Derek Usamaki are all in the building, and we are going to start the show right now.
We talking about practice. Not a game, not a game, not a game. We talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up when you just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that, man? We talking about practice. We talking about practice, man.
Yes, indeed. We are talking about practice. Again, I am Jarrell Gilbert. Derek Usamaki. Hello.
Yo, what's good?
Jonathan Newberry. Noobs, what's happening?
What's up? Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year, everybody. Thank you for listening.
I forgot the year changed. It really just, it really doesn't feel like a new year. I don't know, you know? Like,
it's pretty arbitrary.
Yeah, really. It really is. It's just like nothing else changed other than just one number at the end of our time.
Well, it's like your birthday when you...
Yeah, like nothing really feels different. It's just like this New Year's in general is just kind of very bleh, you know, like anticlimactic for me, I feel.
Yeah, well, I just didn't
feel like a New Year's.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm just like not, like everyone keeps saying Happy New Year. I'm like, oh yeah, that happened.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, next time I'd love to finish the intro, but that's
sorry,
fine.
No, I'm just letting you know right now.
What's the statute on limitations on saying Happy New Year?
Okay, like this is actually a good topic of conversation because I hate... So my birthday's at the end of the month, January 28th, and oftentimes around my birthday, people are like, oh, you know, happy birthday, also happy new year, and it's like,
nah.
You're late to the party, man.
Yeah.
I mean, Jerry Seinfeld makes fun of the fact that he got a happy new year in March one time, which that seems unheard of.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, no, yeah. I think honestly, like 2 weeks after it's over,
the 10th of January.
Yeah, we're like,
if you haven't seen that person, you know, okay.
Sure.
But even if you have, it's two weeks, too much.
Yeah, and I understand the custom because it's kind of celebrating where we've made it another year in life. So I understand it. But there definitely needs to be a statute of limitations to about 10 days. And let's move on. I do, before we get into sports, which we are Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show, the second of which, because obviously Jake and Noobs had Say Hey. And now
that's
we're
not
here
anymore.
It's
so, kind
of, it's like... a morphing of that show.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like the evolution.
Exactly.
Right.
That's what we're another doing. 30 minutes, pretty much.
Yeah. We just added another 30 minutes. But I do find it funny that people continue to go with the Happy New Year for months on end. And so let's put a rule that as of next week, we'll no longer say it to each other and we'll move forward.
Right.
Agreed. Yeah, I concur with statements. Said about Happy New Year.
Great.
So that means we're free to, like, you know, reprimand people who say it to us.
Yes.
And be like, you're silly. You didn't listen to the show.
Well,
come on. 10 days.
I did want to talk about this real quick. People keep saying, you know, screw 2016, F 2016, blah, 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 blah. And for decent reason, I think celebrity deaths were really related to that because we lost a lot. I mean, we do every year, but this year in particular,
this year seemed like, I feel like Prince, if you're really David Bowie, like some heavy hitters,
but Muhammad Ali. Sure.
If you're judging like how your year is based on celebrities and how their lives are going, I think it was
the political climate and also like the firestorm of police shootings.
Yeah,
back and forth.
Right, and the mass shootings this year. Yeah. I believe
you got
last
the nightclub.
Right, last year was the worst year in mass shootings in our country's history. So,
and you look at everything that's been happening in Germany and France and Belgium and Turkey.
Right.
I mean, it's getting out of control.
And it would be... So in regards to that, yes, I think that...
it was a tough year.
It was a very tough year, but Jordan Booth was on my show, Flipside Radio, last night, and he actually... said something that I thought was important is he was like, yes, happy new year, let's move forward, but let's remember that just because the calendar changes doesn't mean these problems go away.
Right.
You know, we have to stay kind of conscious of what's going on, but enough with being downers. Yeah. let's celebrate the new year and move forward. Let's talk some sports. Where do you guys want to start? I thought so much happened. We had the college football playoffs were this weekend. The NFL playoffs are now set in stone. And Ronda Rousey got destroyed. Which of those topics would you guys like to start with?
Let's start with Ronda.
Yeah, okay.
That was interesting.
Yeah, I just... So, a couple things from my perspective. This fight, obviously, was a huge deal. Now, Dana White has been on record on multiple times saying that... And the brief history of UFC, because they're on the leagues, or the sports only been... as it's currently constructed together for what, 12 years?
I was
going to
say a decade or so.
Yeah,
so it's not
there.
A very old sport, but he said to this point, Ronda Rousey, by the number, has been the biggest draw and been the biggest superstar. And I think it would be hard to dispute that. I mean, I'm sure you can make arguments for a couple other guys, but it's crazy and pretty cool that in a combat sport that a woman would be the biggest draw.
I think that's... I mean, again, because she's a woman, that's the easiest one to point out. But she attracts a whole other demographic that a men fighter is not going to be able to attract. I mean, women are drawn to her because she's like a badass chick. Like, oh my gosh. And she was. And like guys were drawn to her because her fights were awesome because she was actually ending them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it took everything you want in a fighter, especially like for a guy. Like it's a guy, I'm sorry, not a guy, but the general term. It's a person that goes into the ring and actually does business. And it's a fun, entertaining fight. And then you have the bonus fact that she is a woman. So women are like even more drawn to her. So I totally can see that she being the biggest draw in the UFC because she has the ability to attract a demographic that a male fighter really isn't going to be able to grab.
Well, that's a great...
Women fighting in general is just something that like isn't... I don't know. There's sort of like this guilty pleasure associated with it. You know what I mean? Because it's not normal necessarily.
Sure.
You know what I mean? I'm not saying it's anti-normal.
It hasn't been paraded around.
It hasn't. It hasn't been like a thing that's been going on for like 100 plus years like boxing has been. You know what I mean? So
well,
it's
really
interesting... Like, to Derek's point, I think it brings in people that wouldn't normally watch MMA.
Yeah, agreed.
Know? And since she was so dominant for so long,
12-0,
and had a lot of first-round victories, and, you know, she was definitely something that kind of, like, transcended the sport.
Agreed.
You know, doing commercials and stuff like that, and she's a relatively attractive girl, too.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't hurt.
Not at all.
I don't want to put that spin on it, but that is the reality of where we live, you know what I mean? So it's, like, kind of the fact that she's attractive and a total badass. It's, you know, but... Seeing what happened to her the other night, man, I think she's done.
I think she's done, too. To Derek's point, too, I just wanted to mention, on Friday night, Amy said, hey, when's my girlfriend Amy says, when's Rousey fighting? And happened to be going on right as she asked me. But that's the only person that my girlfriend's ever had an interest in watching UFC. Other than that, she could care less. I mean, if we're going to someone's house to watch some fights, she'll watch them, but it's basically background noise. But Rousey, she wants to know when she's fighting. She wants to see if I can find an illegal stream or something to watch it. You know, she's super into it. And I know quite a few females who could care less about the sport other than Rousey. So, obviously...
I knew people that were, like, super into getting that fight. They're super stoked that she was coming back.
Yeah.
So, and a lot of them were kind of disappointed.
Obviously, absolutely.
48 seconds.
I mean, she's a transcendent athlete.
Yeah.
And I think what she... I want to talk about this possibly being the end in a second. But I think what she did for the sport of UFC and the audience and the attention she's brought in is going to, like I said, her being a transcendent sport, it's going to transcend just her career. It's going to go on for years. And we'll see this impact, I believe, 10 years from now when we have a whole new generation of young women coming up and fighting, and young men for that matter too, because she was so internationally acclaimed. She had that it factor. You know, she went on Ellen. She went on all these late night shows. She was in Fast and Furious 6 or 7 or 8 or all three.
Entourage, too, I think.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
She's been in a few things. Carl's Jr.
I mean, she took advantage of her time to shine, you know, and rightfully so.
Yeah, and she got a $3 million paycheck for the other night where... Mm-hmm. Nunez only got 100,000 before her pay-per-view cut, so I think it got bounced up to like 200 grand.
Sure.
But you think about the discrepancy there.
That's
right. About 30-1 for the loser, the potential loser at the time. And so, you know, hopefully Nunez will get her payday too, because she's the champ and she deserves it. I think what's going to be really important for that division is if they have, like, hopefully she steps up and has like 4 or 5 title defenses, because I think it's good if you have someone that's on top for a while.
Yeah.
So you have someone like that's on top of the hill that everybody's kind of coming after. If we have a situation where the belt is just getting handed every fight to a different woman, that's going to be a problem.
I mean, you've kind of been having that for a little bit right now.
Right.
When Rousey went down that first time,
and then she went down the next time.
That'll be bad,
I think, for that division.
And I'm not going to lie, like, after that, I kind of just stopped paying attention to it because I was like, oh, okay, you're just going to be like this round robin effect that you don't really have something
exactly
to latch on to.
Yeah.
Well, and we talk about parity in sports, and I think a few weeks ago, I was lamenting the fact that in the NFL this year, we've had incredible parity, and I thought it made for a terrible product. I think it's great when we have dynasty teams or an unbeatable fighter, an unbeatable sprinter in the case of Usain Bolt. Mm-hmm. When we have those type of people, it makes it brings more intrigue into the sport because it gives everyone a rallying cry to either get behind or to root against.
Totally.
And I think it makes it a lot easier for the casual fan to get into sports when we have that. Like I said, with Rousey, I'm more intrigued watching Ronda Rousey fight just because of the event of the spectacle of it all. Because I think there's few things in sports that get hype and attention like a major, major fight. I'm talking Tyson in his heyday. Obviously, many, many, many boxers before that. You know, I just think even Floyd Mayweather to an extent, but not really because his fighting style. But a big...
That Pacquiao fight, man. I mean, that was like a cultural...
Right. That was
an entire country who tuned in to watch that moment because who Pacquiao is to them. Like, more so than Mayweather is, I feel.
But
like,
if you,
Manny Pacquiao but Mayweather to like, the is Filipino that, people is like...
Yeah.
He's like a, I don't want to say a god to them, but he's such a huge person because fighting is such a big part of Filipino culture to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Like, totally.
Yeah.
And he's a musician, you know what I mean? He's a politician.
Very personable guy.
He's huge over there.
Yeah.
Sure.
And he's big over here, too. And then you have Mayweather being the polarizing figure that he is and, like, being so dominant. Like, to what Jarreau was saying, like, you have this, if you have someone that's so dominant, that's why casual fans will tune in because it's like, can someone beat this?
I mean,
can someone knock this guy out?
I would say we're searching for like headlines, storylines all the time, and a storyline is just like two guys going at it isn't that good. It's just kind of bland to the average fan. They're not going to really pay attention to it. I mean, just like you said, like the added tension of a playoff game, like no matter what, even if it's the two crappiest team, but if it's a winner take all, like you're out. Like we'll watch it because there's that added tension on there. Mm-hmm. If you have that added tension of like, oh man, this is a really good team that's no one has ever been able to beat. That's the tension that we need right there at that point in time. And if it's just this regular two battles, it's not the tension that exceeds the sport, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's all about being able to bring in the casual fan because diehards of any sport are going to be there regardless. So what you need is, you know, either a dynamic, super dynamic athlete, or you need a Conor McGregor whose mouth is just as important as what he does in the ring, where he brings so much attention upon himself. And some of it, look, it's some of it, almost all of it is way over the top, but it's fun, it's entertaining, and you either kind of love or hate these guys. And I think it's good for sport when we have that. And so it'll be interesting to see who the next, you know, more or less Ronda Rousey is, or who the next female is that's going to step up and be able to transcend the same way Rousey did. And I just think there's such a delicate balance between actual skill and ability, athleticism and all that, And then going beyond that and having the Muhammad Ali effect where, you know, you can talk a big game, you can be super entertaining and charismatic in front of a microphone too. And for fighting sports, that's been such a part of the history for so long. And I think it's an important part of it. And so we'll see what happens. But I think we're probably all in agreement. Combat sports is one of those sports that when you're done, Roy Jones Jr., for example, When he came unraveled, it was over. Mm-hmm. You know, he was dominant, and then he just couldn't fight anymore.
I was going to say, speaking of, like, fighting past your prime, did I not hear, like, Evander Holyfield try to do a fight boxing? Was it him that tried to do it and, like, got pushed out of the ring?
It seems like he's been trying to fight.
Yeah.
Like,
okay, it was him.
Like,
oh, yeah.
For a long time.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's like 50 years
Bernard
old right
Hopkins
now.
Just fought.
He just
oh,
was
fought.
It, was it Bernard Hopkins? Someone
yeah.
I know
and
just
he
fought.
Yeah, he got knocked out of
the ring.
Yeah, okay, so he's like 50 years old.
Yeah. Okay. I think he's 52.
I mean...
Sorry, I don't know my fighters that well. I knew somebody that was...
It's time to hang it up,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, that's ridiculous,
I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I have mad respect for it, but at the same time, it's like, what's the point?
Like, go to a boxing gym and just spar there with someone if you really need to have...
Yeah,
if you need that moment. But don't put that product where people have to pay to see that. That's kind of despicable.
Speaking about Muhammad Ali real quick, though.
Yes.
Like, his legacy, because of all the social issues, you know, the Vietnam War and everything, like, he's going to have that legacy that's going to be, like, way beyond even, like... a Tyson or definitely a Ronda Rousey.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like Tyson never really had some big social issue that he was fighting for. In fact, he did 4 years in prison for allegedly raping a woman.
Right. He kind of did the opposite.
Kind of the opposite of that, you know? I mean, people are always going to remember him for being as dominant as he was. And that's why when Buster Douglas knocked him out, we kind of had that Holly Holm moment.
Right. Like, oh my
like,
God.
Oh my God. Ronda Rousey is human.
Yeah.
And
right.
She can get knocked out. And so she wasn't quite as dominant for as long as Tyson was. But, yeah, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see where her career goes from here. John Jones said that she needs to get back in the ring or whatever. But I think when you've lost it, you've lost it. And, like, mm-hmm. she clearly was overmatched in the last two fights.
I mean, that badly. Fight, I mean, the entire, like, 48 seconds it went on, it was, like, she didn't even get a strike in.
Yeah.
She was just, like, on the, she was on the fence the entire time, backing up. And
I think I read that she landed 7 punches and Nunez landed 27.
Jeez.
And that, like, 90% of those were to her head.
I mean, if you can have, like, the entire fight on an Instagram video, you know you had a really
bad
fight right there.
Yeah, the last thing I kind of want to say on this subject is I think, too, fighting is such, as most sports are, but the mental edge you have over your opponent is just as important. And now that that shield of invincibility has been taken from her, I think to build that back up is nearly impossible. And that's why I say that I would, if I had to bet whether or not she's going to come back and be dominant again, I would bet against it. Because once you see someone can be beaten, then it's just like Tiger. You know, he was so dominant. And when he was in the running on Sunday on the back nine, pretty much everyone else is just like, all right, we're all playing for second place.
Mm-hmm.
And I think once that kind of disappeared, we've all seen he hasn't won a major since. So I just think that fighting's much similar. But I do want to move on. I want to talk NFL playoffs. But if we could real quick, let's talk about these kind of lame games we had on Saturday. We were all very, I know we were talking about it at the end of the show last Monday, that we were pretty excited for the college football playoff to finally be here and get some clarity. And man, there was...
There's clarity.
There's clarity, yeah, we got that.
Not like, it was...
Not a whole lot of intrigue in
no.
the games. I mean, I watched about 10 minutes of both games, and that's all I really needed to watch. I had stuff going on. I recorded them. My plan was watch some of them, record it, not pay attention, come home, watch the games, and I was getting texts like, man, these games are awful. It's like, perfect. I could just read the box score when I get home. But yeah, those games were laughable. Ohio State getting their doors blown off like that, and then to contrast it with Penn State just playing this great Rose Bowl game that just finished. They ended up beating USC.
Is it really over already?
Yeah. I believe it was 49-35. I don't have the score in front of me. I'm sure I could pull it up in 1 second.
I'm looking at it right now. It looks like there's still 8 minutes left in the game, and they're up 49-35.
Oh. Well, yep, you're right.
Yeah. Okay.
That was just an update from ESPN to tell me to tune in.
Yeah.
Not that the game's over. But,
I think they got I mean, yeah.
They got hosed?
Yeah, I mean, they lost twice. Ohio State only lost once, but they won their head-to-head matchup against Ohio State.
Yeah.
They won the conference. They beat Wisconsin in the conference championship.
I mean, the fact
now
that
they're going to go to California and beat USC.
Yep.
I mean, they got hosed, if you ask me.
I don't know if they
would have played Clemson any better. So I think Clemson was super hungry from last
year.
Yeah. Yeah.
And more experience. So Ohio State's kind of a young team. I definitely expect them to be back in the fold next year. But, I mean, honestly, I think we might have had a better game if Penn State was there.
Oh, yeah. I agree. I mean, and I think something to take into account is, I don't know how much I believe in momentum, but I do believe teams can kind of figure things out. They can get hot, so to speak. And what I mean by that is they can get better, especially in college football and college sports in general, because a lot of your star players are in their first, second, or third year of playing the sport on a major level. So there's so much room for growth, especially when you think about, you know, freshman players, true freshmen, when, you know, their first game, they're probably so wide-eyed and just like, this game's so much faster and these right. guys are so much bigger and hit so much harder. By game 5, 6, 7, and as you go on, you know, these guys are getting experience, and that really makes a difference where you're not going to see that as much in the NFL or professional sport. And I think that should really be taken account by the committee when you want to look at the whole body of work so every game counts. But I think there should be special attention played to the last 5, 6 games of the season
yeah, yeah.
because your team is going to be different in college sports, whether it's basketball or football or any of the sports. Your guys are going to, guys and gals, will have grown, will have learned, and will have improved. And so your team can be night and day difference in the last 5 games as opposed to the first. So I don't know. I agree that Penn State should have probably got in, and it's a lot easier playing the result now.
Totally.
But I think we were all kind of in agreement that they should have had a chance because they were the outright winners.
Yeah.
And again, if you have a conference champion that doesn't get in,
what's the point of having a conference championship?
Right. So it kind of devalues the whole thing. So it's great they can hang a banner that they're the conference champions, but they didn't even get a shot at the actual championship. So moving forward, though, or looking forward, when's the championship game? Is it next?
It's a week from tonight.
It is next Monday. Okay.
I mean, they're killing us, honestly, sometimes with how much time they have in between it, though. I feel like we had those games. It's going to be like a week and a half before they play the final game. And it's just, I don't know. I feel like there's kind of, it kind of stops it a little bit. Like, because this, usually the beginning of the year is like this great time where you have like a week full of just games.
Right? Yeah.
Like each night, like for the first week of the year, you're having like these amazing games happen. And now you get like two, we had two pretty bad ones on New Year's Eve. And then
last year's games were bad too.
Yeah. I mean, and we had some good finals games, but you take it out of the sales kind of get taken out of the wind a little bit. Like that first year was really good. And we all got super hyped about it. And then I think we kind of realizing, yeah, maybe this playoff system isn't quite as foolproof as we thought it was going to be.
No, it's not. Yeah. I mean, because there's like this layoff between what do they play conference championships first week of December?
Yeah.
So you've got almost a four and a half week layoff. And then you turn around 9 days later and play the championship. It's like, let's have the championship more around New Year's.
Yeah.
Have the semifinals like before Christmas.
Something like, I think
something
they,
like that.
They need to. The fact that there's that long a gap in between like when they stop playing their season to when their bowl season kind of starts is just, it's too much.
And there's too many freaking bowls. I mean, it's like you have 41 bowl games, including the championship. No, there's 6 and 7 teams.
Yeah.
There was a 5 and 7 team that was in there. I mean, I don't want to see a 5 and 7 team.
You know, well,
it's got to mean something.
That's 80 teams out of 128. It's something like 63% of teams go to bowls. That's too much.
It's all a cash grab.
It is.
And these schools are making so much money off the bowls. And I agree. Yeah. I mean, it's diluting the product. I thought from day one we should have expanded the playoffs. Or when they created the playoff system, we should have gone to 8 teams. Mm-hmm. And get rid of some of these smaller, you know, the Cheetos Bowl or whatever, you know. I mean, it's just, I get it. It's great. I mean, is it even really good for the kids to go play during their winter break in, you know, the whatever?
New Mexico.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Some of these guys, the kids don't even get to travel. Like, New Mexico played in the New Mexico Bowl.
Right.
Hawaii played in the Hawaii Bowl.
Right.
It's like, what's the point? I mean, some of the kids got to go to Bahamas or whatever, which is cool. But it's like, these guys are all proud and they're wearing t-shirts because they beat some 5 and 7 team. You know what I mean? It's just like, I don't know. To me, it's just like, it just seems ridiculous. You know what I mean? There's just too many of them. Like, we need to streamline it, get it back down to like 20 to 25 so that these games are actually good. I mean, mm-hmm. I was paying attention for the last couple of weeks, and it wasn't until like Friday night that there was like a really juicy matchup between Michigan and Florida State.
Yeah. You know it took them a while.
That took them a while. It took us two weeks to get there.
I was going to say, the Michigan and Florida State turned out to be a good one, too. Yeah. But still, it took them a while for us to actually get like, all right, finally, again, I was in the same boat. Like, oh, this is a game I'd actually want to watch now.
I mean, I don't need to see Appalachian State and Louisiana Tech play on December 17th. I just don't need it. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. I think, like you said, I mean, this is all just one big money grab.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that they could do better. If they want to, like, what they should do is make the playoffs bigger and get even more money for that, and then take some of that money and kick it down to these smaller schools. Like, share it. Have some kind of revenue sharing thing. You know what I mean? Because, you know, these smaller schools do need help. They do need – that's why they, during the regular season, will schedule Alabama on the road.
Right.
So they can get these big paydays. You know what I mean? So you have to keep these programs alive. I get it. But if you want like if you want to develop a true champion, what we need to do is streamline the entire Division One. Get rid of – you have 128 teams. We don't need to have that. We could have like a subdivision. Mix them with the you know, the two A's or whatever.
Yeah.
And then the FCS and FBS.
Yeah. And just get it down to like 80 teams or something. You know, 60, 72 teams. Have even conferences and have automatic bids.
What they really need to do is like – and like, so you see in many soccer leagues, they have like a relegation section. So like the top, you have like a ranking of all the lists, and the teams that are on the bottom, they go to the other level. The teams on top get to go up to the FCS or whatever the difference is.
Right.
FBS Bowl Series. So yeah. The FBF is like the Division One, and then you have your SDS that's like Division Two or whatever.
And they're talking the Group of Five or whatever, the other conferences, the American Conference USA, MAC, Mountain West, and Sun Belt, I think, are actually talking about having their own playoff. Which could really force the hand of the NCAA, because they don't want that. They don't want some kind of competing playoffs. Now, but I mean, you'd have like,
it would be
a Western
funny to do that. I'd like that. Like, do that. Just screw with the NCAA a little bit.
Do we get a final on the Western Michigan?
Oh yeah, that was a.
Oh yeah, who did win that?
If they won that one, then it's like, come on. You know what I mean? Like, they deserve.
Wisconsin won 24-16.
Okay. But still, I mean, you go 13-0, I feel like give them a shot.
Yeah.
I mean, let's make it more like basketball where you have like a potential Cinderella story.
Yes. No,
the number one teams can't complain about that. Like Alabama, don't you think they'd love to have Western Michigan in round one?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So who cares? It's like they're saying, well, we want to put the best product out there. Well, you haven't done it so far in the last 2 years.
There's something wrong with it.
The semifinals have both been blowouts the last couple of years. So.
I did have one observation that's been for just to use Derek's favorite segment of the show that really grinded my gears over the weekend or over the past week or so. Watching,
please do tell.
Yes, watching some of these bowl games is a lot of announcers were kind of crushing some of these kids that decided to look out after their own NFL careers.
Oh, yeah.
As opposed to playing in a bowl game in which they're not making any money. And in fact, they're risking millions and millions of dollars. And I'm sick of it. I think it's easy to sit up in a booth when you're getting paid to be there. And most of these guys on CBS, ESPN, wherever, are making a nice six-figure salary for working 6 months out of the year to call games. And to say, you know, these players are selfish, because they were talking about Darius Geis, the running back from LSU, because Leonard Fournette, who obviously a huge prospect, sat out because he wants to preserve himself for the NFL draft. And I forgot who it was. I want to say it was Bob Greasy Jr. Or is it Brian Greasy?
Brian Greasy
is his kid. Yeah, so not Jr. Was saying, you know, look at guys. He may be just as dynamic. And he decided, you know, he's going to come back. And first of all, I think he's a sophomore. He may be a junior, but I think he had to come back. And second of all, okay, great. I get that he's playing. But why do we have to begrudge what Leonard Fournette's doing? I mean, look, we've had this happen. Look at Willis McGahee. I mean, he got a second shot in the NFL, but he would have been a top 10 pick if he didn't shred his knee in that championship game. And he probably cost himself tens of millions of dollars. And we're saying for your team, go out there. And I get that. You know, you signed up to play. These are your guys. But that's the only argument I understand. Beyond that, I mean, the guys calling the games aren't going out there to battle to potentially, and they don't have millions of dollars on the line. And I'm looking forward to the day, and I hope this happens, that in a major football in a college playoff game that one or two or many stars from a team decide we're not playing, we're not getting paid, we're not playing. And so we'll see. But I'm just tired of these announcers calling out these guys and calling them selfish and propping up the guys that are playing.
I mean, yeah, let's face it. The bowl game they're playing in has absolutely really no value. And Nick Saban kind of made an interesting point talking about when Leonard Fournette sat down. He said, because of the championship game, we've devalued all other bowl games. But even I want to say, even before this, the bowl games weren't even that big of a deal. Like, it was a fun product out there. But if I ever judge someone on their bowl wins and loss record, I feel like that's just a very short-sighted picture. And okay, congratulations, you won the Cotton Bowl.
Nobody's going to remember if Stanford beat North Carolina. They're only going to remember if, like, McCaffrey had blown out his knee.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
You know what I mean? So it's like, if you're playing maybe for the actual championship, then I think you should suit up. That's just my personal opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I think you'd want to as a player. Like, this is my
team. You've got 69 other guys that are depending on you, and this is something that's pretty big. I mean, you're going to remember that, an NCAA championship for the rest of your life.
Sure.
But I agree with you, man. If you're going to go into the draft, and if something, God forbid, happens to you and you cost yourself all like a bunch of future earnings, I think they have every right to sit it out, especially when it's something that just doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And there's only basically three games that matter, the semifinals and the championship.
Right.
So everything else, the Valero this, the Cheetos that, it's all just
it's just another game.
It's insignificant.
Yeah, it's another game that you get to play. It's like, I think it's just really honestly for the seniors who really don't really have an NFL prospect. You know?
What about the coaches who go take jobs somewhere else and then they don't even coach their team in the bowl game because they've got to go recruit?
Right.
It's like nobody begrudges them.
No.
The coaches can just bail on these kids and nobody says anything.
And they're getting paid, actually, for the entire time being there.
$4 million. Yeah. So it's like, come on.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. This is Talking About Practice. Were made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Dallmeyer Insurance Agency, a full-service independent agent and retail broker since 1948. Dallmeyer Insurance provides a wide range of coverage options for individual needs, from homeowners and auto insurance to farm and ranch coverage. Dallmeyer offers assistance by calling 342-6421. Also, or you can call them in Oroville at 533-3424. Check them out, chicoinsurance.com. This is FM 90.1 KZFR, broadcasting live and direct from downtown Chico, California, to the Sacramento Valley, to the foothills and beyond. We were talking about New Year's and traditions we have with New Year's. I want to take a quick stroll down memory lane with Greg Cody's Back in My Day. This comes to us from Dan Lebatard's show on ESPN Radio. We're all curmudgeons and we're all old, and or at least I think we're all very old souls. I think we're all late 20s, mid 30-year-olds that just have the soul of a 70-year-old angry man. So let's check this out, have some fun with this, and then we'll be back to talk NFL playoffs in just a minute.
The T-Rex was an exception to this.
Wait a second. I blew that. I don't know where that's running in the background, so we'll make sure we get rid of that. Let's try this again, shall we? This is Greg Cody's Back in My Day.
And now it is time to take a trip down memory lane. Here's your guy, Greg Cody, with Back in My Day.
Happy New Year! Are you still saying that to people? If so, start to wrap it up, please. The American Society of Social Customs indicates we should treat New Year's like someone's birthday. Give it a week at most and then move on. Don't be the weirdo still saying Happy New Year in late January. Unfortunately, we can't move on as quickly from New Year's resolutions, because we must continually hear people bragging about what they pledged to accomplish in the new year, almost as if we had any interest. Back in my day, one's resolve was a personal matter, private. You didn't stand on a rooftop to broadcast whether you hoped to lose 20 pounds. You just did it quietly. Now everyone credit mongers. That's the whole point of New Year's resolutions. Consider if we weren't looking for credit, we wouldn't wait until New Year's in the first place. We'd start whenever. I mean, admit it, you realized and said to yourself back in March, you know, I really need to curtail my alcohol, but instead I'll drink more heavily than ever for the next 9 months because resolutions made in March get no attention. You ever notice that most resolutions are about health, fitness, or self-improvement? I don't get it. Every time I see someone running marathons or hitting the gym for the fifth time this week, I'm seeing a vanity-driven person whose inexorable fate is to be the fittest corpse in the morgue.
Oh, come on, man. What are you doing?
Mourners will be impressed. Look at Ken. He seems so at peace. I don't think I've ever seen anyone shirtless in a casket before. Yes, and why not? Look at those posthumous abs. Where was I? Oh, yeah, New Year's resolutions. The whole point of them is to make you feel better about you, so make it easy on yourself. Pick something simple. You may recall I did that a year ago, resolving to remove the credit card quickly from the slot, just like I'm prompted to do. Well, it soon became second nature and my self-esteem soared. I was a peacock preening throughout the entire year. This year, similarly, I have resolved to lose a pound. I learned my lesson several years ago when I resolved to lose 30 pounds, but by late August, I had only lost 19 ounces and lapsed morosely into binge eating, ballooning to 340 pounds by Christmas. So this year, I resolved to lose a pound. I really think I can do it. And even if I fall short, no two scales are alike, so I can always hunt one down that smiles upon me. Either that or just lie, because who can tell whether anyone has lost a pound or not? I'm Greg Cody, and that's how it was back in my day.
That had anything to do with New Year's resolution.
Nothing.
That's always a good time. So, yeah.
Clowning.
Play your, play by the rules. We don't need to know what you're doing for your resolution. I've seen so many, I don't know about you, but on social media, I've seen so many people post their resolutions, and I just don't.
Well, you're setting yourself up for public failure.
Right.
Now. Yeah.
Because it's like, if you do it, cool, then people will notice you lost 20 pounds. But
right.
If you don't do it, then now you've put it out there for everybody to realize that you failed.
Right.
So, you know what I mean?
I don't see the gain other than just the immediate satisfaction of people knowing that, oh, this person's trying to get a little better right now.
Right.
Yeah. Like, that's all you're doing. Just immediate, like, 5 minutes of, like, people go, oh, all right, Doug over here, he's trying to do a little better by himself. Good on him.
Yeah. That's
even then,
it.
I'm just like, you should, I feel. Like, this shouldn't be something like, oh, I'm going to be doing, no, you should be doing this on a daily basis,
like,
I feel.
Like, everybody should try to be getting better.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
All the time, be a better person or whatever, but you don't have to, like, broadcast it.
Exactly. So I thought that was a perfect little antidote to what we do around here. So let's talk this weekend's wild card games, and then, I guess, you know, the playoffs as a whole. And we have some stinkers this weekend. Woo!
What do you mean? You're talking about Miami and who were they? Pittsburgh? Pittsburgh, yeah.
No, I'm talking about mainly
the Houston game.
Houston-Oakland game.
Oh, that's right. Houston-Oakland, especially because of Oakland. And
well, it's just the one game you know that no matter who wins, they're going to lose the next game.
Right.
So there's no entry.
Yeah.
No,
wherever,
there's none.
Yeah.
And you look at the quarterback matchup. We either have McGoin going up against either Tom Savage or Osweiler. Most likely. And
you also possibly have Brandon Cooks.
The
third string for the Raiders, who will first NFL start will be a playoff game.
Yeah. Right. So
that's always fun.
Thankfully, the NFL did everyone a favor and buried that game as the early game. So you can kind of go still run your errands that day and not really have to worry about that. And then we have Detroit at Seattle, which, again, not a whole lot of intrigue there. Seattle, even though they have been really suspect, they're at home, and it's Detroit. And as much as I would love to really confidently believe in the Lions, and I want to see them do well just because that fan base deserves a deep run in the playoffs. Who's kidding who? Detroit's won so many of their 9 wins. I think 7 or 8 of them were fourth quarter comebacks and could have gone the other way. There's nothing really Saturday that's super intriguing. I'll still watch the games because it's football. But as our fact checker Chase, my little cousin Chase, just sent to me, don't believe in the Lions. And he is a diehard Lions fan.
Yes.
You know, he watches just about every game, and he's texting us, do not believe in the Lions. So
nobody knows that more than a Lions fan.
Exactly. So with that said, I would, for all you gamblers out there, the Houston Oakland spread is 3.5 Houston's favor, and Seattle is -8.
Yeah.
Saturdays, I think I'm not really going to set my schedule around those games by any means.
I'll probably check in on the Seattle game and see how much they're up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, they're 7-1 at home. They're typically a great home team. I just don't trust Detroit to go in there.
I mean,
they could keep it a little close, maybe.
I would say Seattle's been, like I said, they've been pretty suspect. They almost lost to the 49ers this past week. And granted, the game didn't have a whole lot of meaning.
Well, and they pulled Russell Wilson. And
true, but like even then, so when they were playing, who was it there? Was it Arizona where they actually had and they were just getting stomped on by, I mean, Russell Wilson couldn't get anything on. They were getting so much pressure on him.
It would be great to see the Lions go in and win one.
I would love to see that. Like, that would, to me, because like I said, I like Matthew Stafford a lot. I think he's a quarterback that he's not elite in any way fashion, but he's still a really good one. I think he deserves a chance to, you know, show his skills off in the playoff on a, you know, bigger scale.
Yeah.
But I mean, like I said, again, I hate Seattle and their whole, like, that's probably one of the things that grinds my gears a lot, is their whole 12th man thing up there, which they didn't even, they had to buy from Texas A&M. They have the right to do that.
Yeah.
Like, you're not the first to do it. No, Texas, they had it first. They were the 12th man. But no, like, no, we'll buy it from you. Now we're the 12th man.
There's no,
they claim it as like theirs. It's
there's
like,
no fan base in the world that I despise more than the Seattle fan base. Because of the 12th man, because of the way the building was constructed, and there, Bill Burr laments this all the time. We're the loudest fans ever. And it's like, no, your stadium was we yell harder than your fans. It's like, no, that's all.
It's architecture.
Just ridiculous. And not to mention that in Chico and in Northern California, I think prior to Seattle's resurgence, I saw maybe one or two people ever wearing Seattle Seahawks gear, and now it's like a plague on this town. And I just,
I'm not gonna lie, and I really don't like their colors. Like, their blue's okay, but that neon green they have is
gotta go. It
irks me.
Yeah, when they played with those neon green jerseys and the color rush a few weeks ago, that was just looked like a bunch of highlighters running around out there, and I really hated that.
We need to stop that.
It's going
to
get worse in the next 10, 20 years.
Especially now that that Nike's taking over the contract. I mean, hopefully Under Armour doesn't get it, because I don't know if you saw the Maryland jerseys in the bowl game. Oh, my God. It looks like someone just threw up a coloring box.
You see, like, with Oregon, with the Nike, I mean, I think there was one year they didn't wear the same jersey.
I think they had like 77 different combinations.
Yeah, I don't think between the pants, the helmet.
I don't think they've worn the same jersey in the last six seasons.
Totally see that being the way it is. And so hopefully the NFL doesn't get into some weird marketing thing where like every team has like four or five different jerseys.
Oh, they will. They already have. I mean, the Niners had the color rush. They did the black jerseys.
And then you have an alternate too, right? Yeah. So you have home, away, alternate, and color rush, I think.
Yeah.
So.
And then they, of course, they always try to slide in a throwback. When they can too.
Right.
And, you know,
everybody's rocking a black jersey every once in a while now. You know what I mean? So it's like everybody's able to claim black.
Just right.
Yeah. A white jersey doesn't mean you should have a black jersey.
And I think the Raiders were actually the first team to make black an official part of their color scheme. So, yeah, it's getting ridiculous. And
we're going to have ads on NBA uniforms pretty soon.
Yep. I think that starts next season, doesn't it?
That's horrible.
I
mean,
that's why I have trouble watching Premier League. Are they turning it on? I don't know which team is which.
Flight or what is it?
Well, they have like Chevrolet is on Manchester United's jersey right now. They have Fly Emirates is the biggest
Fly
one.
Emirates,
yeah,
yes.
They're on like, you know, half the big clubs out
I
there.
I hate it so much.
It really does. Like,
I mean, if you know, but because I'm such a casual, like, I'm like a non-fan when it comes to
it. Took me a while. Like, that's one of the biggest things for me was like how, like, you have to like know their color scheme for your team that you're watching.
Yeah. You know, and in addition to that, one thing I would love to see, and it will never happen, but I think it would be funny if some of these uber rich guys could simply sponsor one of these teams and just have it say like Jim. You know, or something like that.
Brought to you by Jim.
Just have a picture of like Paul Allen's face.
Right.
On the
I think
just
something like that would
like
be
a
funny.
Fat head, but on the jersey.
If we're gonna have these ridiculous sponsorships on the jerseys, let's just go all the way and just have them sponsored by rich billionaires. When it might just be a funny phrase that they like or something like that. You know, or just their name. But let's get back.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Okay. We'll going back to this weekend's games, we also have Miami at Pittsburgh, I believe. Is it at Pittsburgh? Or is
yeah.
It? Yeah, okay. And Pittsburgh is minus 10, or is favored by 10. So, and Tannehill may get back, but, I mean, he's...
Matt Moore, Southern California product right there. He's been taking Miami on a nice little run. Granted, I don't see that happening in Pittsburgh.
No.
But, yeah.
So I just... not a whole lot of intrigue there either. I think the only game that really has any type of real intrigue as far as just the matchup is the Giants at Green Bay, which I wanted to get your guys' opinion on this real quick. So the Sunday games, the first game on the West Coast starts at 10:05, and then the afternoon game starts at 1:40. So we have no primetime game on Sunday, which I kind of like having that primetime game. I like Sunday night games. Especially when you have a matchup with, you know, teams that have the history that the Giants and Green Bay have, I thought that would be a really good game to put in primetime television when everyone's kind of settling down for the evening, settling down for the weekend. And instead, you have it early in the afternoon as far as on the West Coast. And I don't know, what do you guys think about that? Is there any problems with that, or are you fine with it?
I don't have a problem with it because it's like, pretty normal to a regular Sunday afternoon.
Yeah. I think they usually do that with the playoff, the first wild card weekend.
They do.
The conference, all the other ones, conference championship, they're always done in the afternoon.
Yeah.
I kind of like it. It's like a normal football Sunday.
Yeah, fair enough.
Know? Without the, again, just no Sunday night football that night. Which I don't, again, Sunday night football has, I'm usually working in during that time, so it's not like it's.
Sure.
But I think that's
definitely going to be the game of the weekend, though.
Agreed.
Because you got a couple of Super Bowl contenders in that one, I think.
Yeah, I think either one of those teams wouldn't be incredibly shocking to see get to the Super Bowl. All these teams at this point in the wild card have huge flaws with their teams, whether it be Pittsburgh and their defense and their up and down offense. I mean, they have obviously the firepower to light you up for 40 points. And then they also have been this Jekyll and Hyde that we've talked about, where they'll also come out and lay an egg against Philly earlier this season or Miami. Now, granted, Roethlisberger got hurt in that game against Miami, but they weren't doing much in that game besides that one play to Darius Hayward Bay, which was the highlight of his career. But other than that, they weren't moving the ball. So, you know, I don't know. The only game that really interests me this weekend is that Giants-Green Bay game. But then next week, then we get some heavy hitters. We get to see New England. We get to see Dallas. Kansas City, I think, has the potential to end up in that championship game.
That's a scary team right now.
That is a scary team. Thankfully for your squad, the Patriots, they get home field throughout. So if Kansas City wins, they're going to have to go up to Foxborough, which is a tough ask for anyone, as we've seen over the years. The divisional round is my favorite weekend in the NFL every year because you still get four games, but at this point you've kind of weeded out, you've thinned out the herd a little bit,
right,
and you get the real heavy hitters. But let's just look forward. What do you guys kind of see happening? I know prediction radio isn't real fun because none of us have any insight, but I think it would be fun. Like, how do you kind of see things shaking out? Who do you have in the Super Bowl?
I would have to go with New England, just because they have home field advantage. I think Kansas City or Pittsburgh probably has the only chance to go in there and win.
Yeah,
in my opinion, I think Pittsburgh's offense is so dynamic that, like you said, they can put 40, and they play just well enough on the defensive end they can win.
Yeah,
New England just seems like such a well-oiled machine. We were talking last week about, is this how they rate compared to their all-time teams? I think that this is actually one of their best teams ever, which are kind of going under the radar at 14-2.
Well, that defense is the best they've had in probably a decade,
no doubt. And but Kansas City looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
On the other side, you got, you know, Pittsburgh has won 7 in a row, and the NFC, I believe, Green Bay's won 6 in a row.
Yeah.
So I don't know. You know, I like Aaron Rodgers' experience. I think the NFC is a little bit harder for me to predict.
Yeah.
Because you have Seattle, who historically plays really well in the playoffs and at home. The Giants just have that streak where defensively and Eli, they can put it together for a couple games.
And
Dallas is a big question mark.
Yeah.
You know, so I think the NFC is a little bit more wide open. And you have Atlanta, who has got a puncher's chance because of that offense.
Yeah.
But then we talk about not trusting teams. You know, Falcons are one of those teams where, oh my God, they're 13-3. They look so good. And then they just fall on their face. So I don't know. I honestly, looking into my crystal ball that's not really in front of me, I can't really honestly give you a good prediction. I'd say it's New England versus someone. How's that?
Yeah,
New England versus somebody.
New England versus someone.
Not Detroit.
I've been trying to think like who would I pick and stuff, and I honestly think I would, just because like it's easy to pick New England. I want to go a little risky and say Kansas City's going to be in the Super Bowl. I really do feel that because they have a defense that's kind of similar to how the Denver team was that took that Tom Brady apart last year. He couldn't handle him. Their line could not hold it. And I think that, like I said, you have the corners on there that can hold their receivers in check. You get enough pressure on Brady, stop the running game here, and let don't let Blunt go crazy. It could be like a pretty entertaining game. I really think if it is KC versus New England. Like I said, that the NFC side is really, like I said, it's a toss-up. I got to just stick. I mean, Rodgers seems like the safe bet. He's looking like his old self right now.
Yeah. No, I like Green Bay's chances.
The one concern, and matter of fact, Green Bay's, I believe I read somewhere, more people have taken Green Bay, as according to Vegas, to win the Super Bowl than any other team, which is surprising, but it probably has something to do with the odds, I would imagine. But the one concern I think you would have if you're a Kansas City fan, if they end up going to New England, is Kansas City does really well because of, like you were talking about, getting to the quarterback, and their corners and safeties are exceptional, but they do really well against teams that like to throw down, like really down the field, and quarterbacks that do 5 to 7 step drops, and that's not what New England does. Yeah. They get the ball out of their hands. They run a lot of crossing routes, a lot of bubble screens, things like that, and then hit you over the top. And they kind of soften up your defense. And I think, that's kind of the problem when Justin Houston can't get to Tom Brady, when Tom Brady's, dropping back for 2 steps, 3 steps, and boom, the ball's out of his hand.
Yeah.
I think that would be your one concern. So I think, I could see it happening. I could see someone, but from the AFC taking that throne. But I think New England's got the clear track to go ahead and get to the Super Bowl. Out of the NFC, again, I'm in agreement with you guys. That's really a crapshoot. I can't pick Atlanta just because all year long, since I think week 3 or 4, I've been saying don't trust Atlanta on this show. So for me to say I think Atlanta's going to the Super Bowl would be the ultimate talking out of both sides of my mouth. So, and then again, Dallas, we don't know what's going to happen with, 2 of your best players being rookies, or at least 2 of the players you're going to rely on being rookies. So is it Seattle? Is it Green Bay? Is it the Giants? I don't know.
I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how it shapes out. Like this week, while the games might be kind of bland and not the most intriguing, those are going to set the stage for the week, for next week and stuff.
Yeah.
So
agreed.
That's what, honestly, it's, again, the picture will become a little bit more clear, but, yeah, the NFC is kind of, it's a weird one.
It's weird, yeah, because there was no dominant team. Well, we'll know a lot more next week, and like I said, we have the divisional round. That will all be set, and so we'll be able to talk a little more football next week and get more into it. I don't think any of us are super excited about the wild card matchup, so let's leave that where it is. Let's talk about a quick wrap-up of the year, if we could. You want to do that?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, so we're kind of just spitfiring before the show, a couple ideas here. And so I wanted to start with the best moment of the year. And we are a sports show, so we'll keep a lot of these sports, but we'll kind of divert from that a little bit too. And for me, my best moment was D. Gordon coming up to the plate after the next day after Jose Fernandez died, and taking the first pitch by batting righty as Jose Fernandez did, and then switching over to lefty as his normal stance in the very next pitch, taking it out of the park. Just from that pretty much typified everything I love about sports. That's just something you can't really, I mean, I just got chills thinking about it again. It was D. Gordon's first homer of the year. And it just, everything you love about sports, I think, happened there. The emotion was pouring out of him as he's rounding the bases. He's crying. He could barely make it to home base. He had to have his players, a lot of the team came out of the dugout and kind of met him. And they were all crying. A bunch of them were crying. And I don't think you can get much better than that. So that was my best sports moment. Derek, you got one?
My best sports moment was, like I said, a lot of these are going to kind of intertwine because they kind of can be ambiguous in the terms. But for me, that moment when Villanova won the NCAA tournament, that was such like the type of game, the way it ended. It doesn't like, it's the movie story ending, movie style ending, and so much so. And it was perfect. It was so awesome. Like, it was one of the best basketball games you're going to see.
Yeah. Agreed.
Just as a accumulation for that tournament too, because that tournament has a lot of history and a lot of just prestige behind it. The Cinderella stories that you see go up and down, and Villanova to be that team to just put on a show like that, and North Carolina. So that was my moment where this NCAA tournament coming to a nice fulfillment.
Noobs, you got one? I know we just dropped this on you right as the
show
started.
I'm going to have to take a little bit from Derek's expertise. I think Leicester City winning the Premier League.
That's a nice call.
That's a good one.
Just because of the fact that I think they were like 5,000 to 1 or something.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just something that you just never see. I mean, it would be like, you know, Cleveland winning. It's like Cleveland winning the Super Bowl on steroids.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
This is a team that I think had been relegated to the second division.
This is their first year up. Their second year. Almost got relegated the year before.
And I think they're like in 16th now.
Yeah, they're not doing too hot right now.
So. But it's just going to show you that it can happen.
Yeah.
I mean, like, forever, that's going to be the way it is.
The Loch Ness Monster being proven real had more chances than them winning the premiership.
I think Nessie was at that game. But no, I think that was an amazing moment.
Sure.
Just because of the crazy, you know, it could never happen.
Yeah, it's not going to happen again. I honestly do not believe like anyone's going to tell you that will never happen again. No other team is going to have that type of run.
Yeah,
a lot of things had to work for them, and it
that'd
was just
be kind
a
of a
year.
Equivalent to Appalachian State winning the college football championship or something like that.
Yeah, probably a better
something
analogy.
Along those
I would say
lines.
Like probably if Appalachian State won the Super Bowl, like that would
because they literally moved up.
Yeah, I guess that's
you know
true.
I mean?
Yeah,
because we don't have that here, where like if you do poorly, you get relegated. That could be something interesting in the NBA.
That would be great.
Tanking if the Sixers had.
I
to
would
go to
love
the
to see that. I would love to see that.
Would be cool. I think that'd be pretty awesome.
I would love to see that.
Really interesting.
The owners will never allow it, but
right because the last month of the season, you'd be like, man, guys are really fighting for to stay in the league,
and it makes for because you have two sides that are intriguing. You have almost playoffs on both sides of your bracket. You know,
absolutely.
Yeah. All right, so we got to kind of run through these. We have 6 minutes left. Best farewell. Mine was Vin Scully. This didn't necessarily have so much to do with him just signing off, but just body of work. No one was classier, more professional, and there will never be another Vin Scully, in my opinion. He worked professionally for 65
plus years.
That's just insanity.
With one team too.
One team, and he moved with the team. So that's just crazy.
I was privileged enough to be at one of those games or his last home game, which is awesome. Like I said, that farewell is definitely gonna hold true to my heart. But for me, Kobe Bryant, when he Mamba out, that was...
Yeah, you cried.
I did.
And me and Amy made fun of you.
You did a little bit, I mean, like I said, my entire Laker life of watching them had been Kobe Bryant, had been in that lineup. So he had I grew up with him. He had been someone special, and that was a great... Yeah, like I said, I cried. I can't deny it.
Noobs, you got one?
I think my best exit moment, but not for the reasons you think, is Peyton Manning finally being gone. I'm tired of that guy.
I was too.
Over it, man. You know, he's still on TV, you know, hawking this or hawking that.
Yeah.
But he's not in the spotlight so much anymore, which I'm thankful for, and kind of give a little more light on my boy Brady.
Yep.
Not that he needs it.
But, he deserves it, though.
I'm just tired of him. And even, like, his acceptance speech, but, like, the post-game interview where he's, like, you know, hugging Papa John and talking about drinking Budweiser.
God, and, get that
you know,
out of here.
Insurance. And it's just like, dude.
You are so sponsored right
goodbye.
Now.
Goodbye. Yeah. And it's like his defense won it for him, which I think a lot of people who are in the know will always remember. It's not like he had some kind of heroic game. I mean, he could barely even throw the ball at the end.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so I'm glad that he's gone.
That's a great
but
one.
I'm a hater, so
I like that.
I like it. That was a good
I
one.
Like that a lot. Just to let you guys know, quick update here: USC came back and won 52-49.
Whoa!
So I can't wait to go home. Okay. I recorded that game. I can't wait to watch that.
Wow!
Real quick, we got to kind of spitfire these. We got 4 minutes. Best internet sensation, Derek. Are you going with the dunkers?
Yeah.
Okay, because you said that one, and I can't agree with you more. Instagram, Twitter, all these outlets have allowed for a lot of street ballers and professional dunkers to now get out there. And some of the dunks they're doing were things that...
Jay Clark the Jumper. Look at him. Oh, my God.
Everybody Hate Chris is a great follow, too.
Jordan Kilgallen, the white guy that's got buffs. Yeah.
They're just doing like flips and going between the legs. And it's just what they're doing is insane. And I'd much rather watch a dunk contest with those guys this All-Star game than
I think they should, just because those guys dedicate their entire time to doing that.
Yeah,
you know?
It would be... I think that would be really cool. So I think you and I are in agreement there. That's, you got one?
Not off the top of my head.
That's fair. I know we're dropping it real quick.
I'm an old man. I don't even know what the internet is.
I think this... So we also had the worst internet sensation. I think this is best and worst. I really liked the mannequin challenge for about 3 days, and then I was completely over it. It was fun when a few high school kids were doing it. A couple college teams caught on. And then everyone did it. And this just went the way of planking. Same as, what was it? I mean,
the Harlem Shake.
The Harlem Shake, yeah. It was just, it needed to die. And people were doing it on New Year's this year. I saw a lot of my friends doing mannequin challenges, and they're just at a party, and everyone's frozen. I'm like, we got it. We've seen it. Not original. Let's move on. So let's let that die in 2016 as well. And if you're my friend and you've done a mannequin challenge and you're offended, I'm not sorry. Don't do it again. Thank
you. If you did it in the first week of coming out, then you're fine. But
sure.
After that,
beyond that, it's done.
I'm literally telling people at the bar, we're not doing that. It's over.
Yeah, it's done.
It's over.
Let's get original. You got another one?
I was going to say, my worst internet sensation really is just, it's not really internet sensation, it's more just sensation, is this hip-hop tremor on right now. I don't like it. With the people, the music behind a lot of these challenges and stuff, I feel like I despise it. The whole, like, Little Yachty and all that stuff, like his.
You hate mumble rap.
Yes.
Okay, fair enough.
You know, yeah, no.
Fair enough.
Yeah, that's my sensation.
You don't pay attention to the internet.
I'm there's so much happening to me right now.
Oh my god, I'm totally out of tune.
Okay, real quick, we have
what a mannequin challenge was. I didn't even know that was a thing.
Oh, we're keeping noobs informed right now, but just very late to the party right now.
Yeah, we have 1 minute left, so we really planned out the show well. Best finish, again, I'll have to go to that Villanova finish.
For me, it's got to be Game 7 World Series.
Yeah.
That was just, that game was insane.
Noobs, you got one?
This coming back down from 3-1 count for the Cleveland Cavaliers.
That's not really, I was hoping no one would bring that up.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, that counts. Best obsession, mine was OJ, just because he came back. Well, let me rephrase that. The whole hysteria.